Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to bring in one of the premier authorities on college football in this country, Josh Pate, the Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. Josh Pate on ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. Josh, man, what a great college football weekend we got coming up here. Where are you going?
Oh, I didn't limit myself. I'm going to USC Illinois morning and Georgia Bama night.
Okay, that's got to be some kind of geographical thing to go UCLA Illinois. I feel like you could have gone to... I mean, USC, rather. Although USC is an interesting squad now. Lincoln's kind of maybe saving his job. But why USC Illinois?
Well, because Illinois got completely and utterly splattered last week. Right. And yet the line is sitting at 6.5. I want to see USC in person. I did not want to do SEC-SEC, so I wanted to get a Big Ten game in early if I'm going to do SEC at night. And for these reasons, I circled that one. I would have gone Indiana-Iowa, but that's a 2:30 game, so I needed an 11 a.m. and then a 6:30 p.m. to make it work.
Where is on? I know it's a 6:30 game, Oregon and Penn State. That's a monster.
Tough. It's tough. I mean, obviously that's a coin flip as to where you go for the night game. You can't go wrong there. When I'm college football commissioner, I'm probably going to do everything I can to make sure our sport does not have the number like 1, 2, 4, and 6 biggest games of the year all happening in the same 6-hour period. I think we could probably do a little bit better to spread that out. But yeah, that one's going to be, it's going to be a very, very big challenge. It's one of those times where sure, you want to be at the game, but if this was a Saturday where you couldn't get a ticket, it's not the worst Saturday to just plop yourself down for 15 hours and be totally useless.
I got to say, Josh, it's, Big Ten, I was reading an article about this. Big Ten is not exactly happy, but they signed up for this. All these big games that they have, a large portion of them are being played in the afternoon now because of their television deal. And that's when we saw Texas and Ohio State. In the past, that would have been an evening game. But that it is interesting you say that, because we're used to the NFL where they, in the end, we're used to professional sports where they, you know, you maneuver the schedules to make it best for the viewer. But in college football in the past, it's been, okay, we're our own entity, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, and all that. Now it really isn't like that anymore. You should be doing everything you can. Different TV deals, I get it. But you should be doing everything you can for the viewers now, because that's all that matters anymore anyway.
Yeah. Well, also, you said, I know you can't do it because of TV deals. Yeah, that's what's dumb about it. So I am, as you guys know, because we talked about this theme a million times, I'm never one of these, hey, let's make college football do X because the NFL does it. Let's make college football do Y because the NFL does it. But the NFL long ago figured out the whole media landscape, and there is a little difference in what the NFL is allowed to do with their media rights deal, which there is a legal movement to change in college football right now too, but that's boring. The pertinent aspect of this is, I sure would love if we could get to that world that Cody Campbell is advocating for, where we have a college football media rights deal. Think about this. Think about having week 5. So here's the slate of games. And instead of knowing, well, ABC and ESPN have these because of their conference, or the Big Ten has this one on at 11 a.m. because of their conference, imagine – there's just a network draft every week, and it sort of rotates who gets the number one, number two, number three pick. But imagine, like, it's just CBS's week. So they get first pick, and they take Georgia-Bama. And it's a 3:30 game, but they'll probably put that on in primetime, actually, if they were them. And then Fox comes along, and that would matter in week one. Not only could you have your networks, they get all the inventory, so no conference is in bed with one network exclusively, but also you could really flex the start times in accordance. I cannot believe we're not there yet, but I think we will get there eventually.
Josh Pate, brought to you by Walmart here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Josh, I'm looking at a list here, ESPN list of the best transfer portal teams this offseason. LSU's number one. Texas Tech is 2, Miami 3, Ole Miss 4, Oregon 5, Florida State, Missouri. That's the top 7. What do they have in common? They're all undefeated. Is it just too early? Because there were a couple of great portals last year that didn't turn out to be great teams, like Florida State, for example. But is this where we're going? Is who has the best transfer portal offseason? You're going to be one of the best teams in college football?
Well, the what you said technically is yes, they're going to be one of the best teams in college football, but let's just keep in mind, this is 5 weeks into the season, so now we know which portal teams or which portal additions worked out. What we don't know is when we're looking at transfer portal rankings in the spring, which ones are going to work out. Because I'll tell you really quickly what I picked up on in that list that you just laid out. Those teams, especially Florida State, for good reason, shifted towards portaling in proven production players. They didn't go and get former five stars that just haven't started yet. That's what Florida State tried to do last year, and it burned them because they found out there was a reason those guys hadn't started yet. It's not always just you're playing behind a superstar. That's the reason you haven't started. If you come here, you'll be a star. That's not always the reason. People anecdotally remember the exceptions to those rules, and they let it cancel out what the overwhelming rule is. So Florida State, they course corrected. I mean, I went and met with Mike Norvell in spring. He told me we had a little bit of hubris about us last year. We thought we could just be portal kings. We could go get whoever we wanted to, and Florida State helmet would magically make them play well. That didn't happen. So this past cycle, they went and got proven production, and it didn't really matter what they were ranked. They just went and made sure they got proven production. Missouri is a team I think you listed 6th or 7th. They are really, really interesting and really a good case study here. They went and got Ahmad Hardy out of UL Monroe. I mean, he is one of the best tailbacks in the country right now. They got Bo Prabula out of Penn State. Limited production, but they did see him win that Wisconsin game. He has been phenomenal for them. They've got a linebacker that's playing phenomenal for them. And so that right there is an example of not even a premier Tier 1 program that has thrived by doing it this way. Proven production, being very selective. They're not building their foundation on it, but they are taking advantage of it.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, let's talk about some of Oregon traveling across the country to Penn State. James Franklin, can he win this? But can Drew Aller, can they win a big game against a quality opponent? James Franklin has come up short plenty. What do you think this Saturday?
Yeah, I woke up Monday thinking I'm going Oregon in this one. I sort of shifted to Penn State throughout the week. A couple of things here. I think a lot of people are viewing the game from 50,000 feet, and the 50,000-foot view is the Franklin record against top five, Franklin record against top 10. You're very
it's not good, by the way. It's not
right,
good.
4-20. Yeah, so then you mix in what is a very valid preconceived notion many have that Aller can't win the big game, Franklin can't win the big game, et cetera. All right, so that's not a matchup. Those are just talking points. The matchup I think that's getting overlooked a little bit is how much newness Oregon has, and it's traveling on the road into this whiteout environment. And I don't doubt Oregon at all. I actually think they're a better team than Penn State, but not to the degree that I think it's just assumed that they go into this environment because for all the talk about how Penn State hasn't played anyone, neither has Oregon. Oregon's played nobody. And they are very motivated to start the season hot because they didn't last year. And so they had every reason to run it up on these teams. Okay, well, now they go and they play a really, really good defense that scales, I think, in this environment against good competition. They hired Jim Knowles at Penn State, and he saw Will Stein in this offense twice last year when he was at Ohio State and really shut him down in the latter of those two meetings. I also think that this is what Penn State went to the portal for. They added those three receivers, and this is sort of the game that they added them for, and they have not looked good throwing the ball so far this year.
No.
I'm not a full believer that, oh, they're just holding stuff back. Like, not to that degree, they're not. Aller hasn't even been all that accurate. That's what concerns me. That's why I'm shaky in my voice with this pick instead of confident. But I'll just give you guys a little over-under here. I've sort of been toying with this throughout the week. It's not available on FanDuel or anything, but just between the three of us and the wall, I'm going to put an over-under of 5.5 on the amount of Penn State offensive snaps that go to someone other than Drew Aller. Because
huh.
I think they're going to get a little creative. I think they have to get a little creative, maybe a little wildcat you hadn't seen from them so far this year. I know that's a high number, but I'm still taking the over. Like, I think there are going to be several atypical to Penn State wrinkles in this offensive plan. Look, I think when the dust settles, they will have won the game, and you will look at it and feel like, dude, they just had to bear crawl over broken glass to get this win. They emptied the tank to get the win, very close win. Sort of feels like Oregon over Ohio State round one last year. It's like a one-point game at home. And that's how I think they'll end up winning this. And I do believe, if I'm right, we'll come out of it saying, good for Penn State, good for James Franklin. But if they meet up again in Indy, I'm taking Oregon.
There's a lot of undercover storylines, and you've fleshed a lot of them out. The James Franklin stuff, not really undercover, but the James Franklin. I think going west to east is going to be a real challenge, as you mentioned. I saw a video somebody put out of the wideout, Penn State's wideout, where the whole stadium is filled with the white jerseys at night. They're extremely loud. And it showed the kickoff. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. It showed the kickoff, and then it's an actual television broadcast. And then, you know, the camera, it's got the zooming camera around the, you know, that are on the wires. And then they go straight to the behind the offensive set as they're lining up to get ready to take a snap for Oregon, and Penn State's on defense. And the thought was, and they have just how loud it is, and it's a wide shot of how big the stadium is and how it's filled with people. And I think I got a real sense that I hadn't really had before of how intimidating that particular environment could end up being for that I hadn't even really thought about, even though, you know, it's there in a lot of stadiums. But boy, night game in this situation, and Drew Aller, as you said, he really does need to show up, because two straight games under 60% completion percentage against not the toughest competition. But Dante Moore with the big game and a win here, to me, shoots to the top of the leaderboard with Heisman Trophy, in my opinion, now that Mateer's out.
Yeah, I'm high, very high on Dante Moore. So, I mean, don't take anything I'm saying as some slight against Oregon or I'm doubting Oregon. But I every week, Lance, there are moments. This usually happens earlier in the season. There are these moments where you spend all week thinking about how a game's going to go. Maybe even you spend all summer predicting how a game's going to go. And then you turn the game on. And there's a thing that happens. Maybe it's a matchup, or maybe, you know, it's just a coaching edge, a storyline, or maybe it's the environment. And you find yourself, like, midway through the first quarter saying, dude, why didn't I think about that? Like, this was right in front of my face.
Yeah.
If I would have thought about that, it may have changed my pick. I kind of think that may be the Penn State wideout environment. And that's normally like this extracurricular, like we talk a lot more about the game on this show than that kind of stuff. I've been on the sideline when they do that whiteout. It fundamentally impacts the on-the-field action as much as any home environment that I've been in. I mean, that's LSU at night, that's kneeling against Bama, all of that stuff included. It is really, really difficult. Unless you go in there and grab a two-score lead, it is really, really difficult to function in there.
What do you think of what's going to happen with LSU and Ole Miss?
All right, so right now, small sample size. Right now, LSU's stat profile is starting to tilt alarmingly towards what it was last year, where they're throwing the ball well enough. I think they're 31st in the country in those passing numbers, but they're in the 100s again in rushing numbers. Now, I got a bunch of LSU buddies. I probably have more LSU friends per team capita than any team in the country. So they're really quick to correct me on this stuff when I say it. And they're really quick to talk about this matchup and how, man, this front for Ole Miss, like even if we are struggling a little bit running the ball, we will have the personnel edge here they're not better anywhere than they were last year, which I would argue in case-by-case situations. We are equal to or better than we were last year. Difference is we have a defense this year. It'll show up. A lot of that I don't argue with. Here's the problem with it. There's a lot that's assumed there. It is just assumed that you'll have offensive balance. Therefore, it is just assumed that you're not asking Nussmeier to do too much. And then the other part of this is, as much as I respect Blake Baker and that defensive staff, I don't think they're holding Ole Miss under 20 like they have pretty much everyone else. So I think they will have to score here. I think they will have to trade points. And for the first time this year, what it does is it puts Nuss in a situation kind of like he was in last year, where it's not just nice if he makes some plays. He's got to make them because we're not running the ball effectively enough. Now, if they can run the ball, LSU will win this game by double digits. I just don't know that they avoid some of the situations, obvious third down passing situations that they got themselves in last year. And that doesn't guarantee they'll lose. It just puts them in a little more leveraged position. It makes the turnover margin maybe a little more possible for Ole Miss to win. I also just think Ole Miss is scaling really hard at the right time. 15 designed QB runs, by the way, for Trinidad Chambliss and that game last week. That is a huge element to that offense. Now, I think Ole Miss is going to find a way to win the game.
Georgia versus Alabama. Who's got the better quarterback, Stockton or Ty Simpson?
That's a great question, yeah, buddy, because I watched Stockton do it on the road. If I get any semblance, of what I've seen from Ty Simpson at home on the road, man, I may go Ty Simpson. Just pure arm talent, dude, he looks so good. But then again, he had time to operate against UL Monroe. He had time to operate against Wisconsin. He didn't so much against FSU, and he was the least of their problems against FSU. My bad. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's too early to say. I think there's probably a little bit more upside with Ty Simpson. But, I mean, I'm not knocking Gunnar Stockton whatsoever for the performance he put on Neyland Stadium. I'll just say this about that matchup. It is an absolutely amazing game to witness. It's sort of a spectacle to witness. I picked Alabama to win the national title, so I kind of want to be right on that. But I don't trust them until they go on the road and do it. I've seen the OU game. I've seen the Vandy game. I saw the Florida State game earlier this year. I just got to reestablish my trust with them. The thing to watch early is Georgia getting home. I don't think they'll get home with four. I do think they got to bring pressure. But, I mean, Alabama on the road has been a tough product to watch. That offensive line, confusion, penalties. If it's like that, Georgia will win the game. If it's not like that, and Georgia's not getting pressure, if they're not affecting Ty Simpson, I'm telling you, he can carve them up. And that Bama receiver core can carve them up, and they could embarrass Georgia. I ended up picking Georgia to win the game because that's a lot of if, just like I said with LSU. That's a lot of if. And so if I'm going to be proven wrong in this game, I'm going to be proven wrong by Kirby Smart losing at a place he hadn't lost since before COVID. Just let that marinate for a second. Will Muschamp was the last head coach to go into Georgia and win a game as a road team. And I'm going to be proven wrong by Bama flexing on the road because I just haven't seen those two things happen enough. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But until proven wrong, I'm going to lean slightly with Georgia in that game.
Jackson Arnold sacked 9 times last week by Oklahoma.
That seems high.
That's a lot. It seems like a lot. But A&M can't stop the run. So if I'm Auburn, I ain't dropping back.
I think that the box score after this thing could look like, you know, 17 passes, 54 runs. That kind of run to pass ratio. Because I agree with you. I mean, that's very obvious. Anyone who's watched Auburn understands that's how they're going to have to win. I am interested to know, Lance, if you watched the Auburn OU game. Like, did you watch?
Yeah.
All 22 copy. Did you think that was mostly on O-line or a blend of that and him just holding the ball?
Both. Jackson's a ball holder.
What a technical term there, by the way.
Yeah, he's a perennial ball holder, and that's what and that is an interesting term now that I say it out loud a second time. But you do that. That's the nature of college football now. You don't have guys who work on time. This has been since Johnny Manziel is when I really start taking off. And ever since then, you've got guys who make a lot of plays. But sometimes guys like Jackson Arnold think they can make more plays than they can. And so you have to manage them because they will hold on to it. The offensive line wasn't good. And Oklahoma, as you know, Josh, has a really good front. Their front seven is a talented front, and they can get after you. So I thought it was a combination of the two, but to me, you have to manage Jackson Arnold. When you have quarterbacks who hang on to it too long and you don't have an offensive line that can hold up, you have to start managing that inside the game with your play calling and your and how you manage the game as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator. And to be fair, it was a low-scoring game. Like, neither team could get off on the other team. I look at the, you know, as it pertains to the Fighting Texas Aggies, who have scored 40 in every game this year, but who can't stop the run, they had a week off. People don't realize they've had a week to prepare for Auburn, and Auburn just got in a knockdown, drag-out fistfight, and they have to come into this game at College Station. This is a really tough spot for Auburn.
Yep.
It's a massive gut-check spot for them, and history tells you this team in wounded animal mode that can run the ball tends to find a way to save its life. I just hate the schedule dynamic. And we talked about Penn State and Oregon. Penn State rested at home against an Oregon team traveling cross country, no rest. There are just a couple of schedule dynamic games that are way out of whack this week. So I leaned with A&M there. I would never bet a penny on that game. Like, I could easily see Auburn finding a way when the dust settles in that one to make people say, how in the world did they do that? You know what? Good for them. I don't even need an answer how they did it.
No way. No way, Josh. Aggies. Aggies are too explosive right now. Too excited. Kramer. They're too explosive. They got big play capabilities this year, which you've never seen out of the Aggies.
But they can't stop the run. I mean, that's the big concern that I have is just – but everything else you mentioned. So a handicapper, the guy who taught me years and years ago, he said in college football – assume the linebacker's doing their job and just get the team that's most ready to play. And when I look at it in that way, if you really simplify, I think the Aggies are going to be most ready to play. You do make the wounded animal comment, but we just got done talking about how tough it is to play at Penn State. And look, the Aggies' winning percentage at home hasn't been as great over the last 5 or 6 years as you would think their home field advantage would be. But man, when John and I both been in that stadium. I'm sure you've been there, Josh. The Aggies can do it as loud as anybody in college football, and that is going to be a rough environment on Saturday for that wounded dog to try to get right.
It helps, like you said, when the explosivity is there. When you don't have Jimbo Fisher putting the emergency brake on the home field environment, that helps a lot, too.
Yeah. That's Josh Pate, brought to you by Walmart every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. Josh, as always, man, we appreciate it. Have fun on your Saturday. You're going to Champaign. I don't know about that. But, okay. Good luck.
Who's your night game, Josh? Who are you going to?
Georgia, Alabama.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
How are you getting there?
Yeah, how you got your private jet all set up?
Hey, how is not important.
Herm Street. He's riding with that dog.
He's got richer friends than I do.
He's riding with the dog on the jet.
Oh, okay. Josh, man, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Josh.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Let's talk a little Walmart, Lance.
Walmart, a chance for you to get everything you need. Did you know that you can transfer your prescriptions over to Walmart? How much are you paying where you're getting your prescriptions? Did you know that there are competitive prices from Walmart's in terms of prescriptions, when you transfer it over to their pharmacy, they're extremely competitive. So what you might end up finding out is that you can get your groceries, your household items, and your prescriptions all at one place. And I'm going to sweeten it for you. Not only can you get it in one place, you can go online and have everything accounted for. Say, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Shop online with 500 million different items that you can, to choose from. Put together your grocery list. They've got their grocery stores. Have it all delivered at the same price as when you would walk into the Walmart and shop yourself. If you don't want to go in, do it all online. Get the same price. Have it delivered like by an hour. What a great opportunity for you to get everything that you needed all in one place, all while doing whatever it is that you need to do. Make the most of your time while having everything delivered for you at the same price as if you went into the store. It's Walmart. Go online and start your shopping experience at walmart.com. The Walmart you thought you knew is new. Who knew?
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got John Chill coming your way here in just a minute. A lot of stuff to talk about with Tim. Hey, last week, there was all kinds of money in the NFL on the favorites, and a lot of them did not come through. It was a good week for the books because those big favorites. And we got a 16-point favorite this week. Buffalo, 15.5, down to 15.5. They were 16.5 wow, to start the week. I mean, so it's at 15.5, and is that enough? John Chill joining us right here. Where's the money going on this Buffalo game, John?
It's crazy. We're seeing probably the biggest handle on the one side is Buffalo this week, minus the 15.5. So, yeah, we're definitely seeing Buffalo money coming in, which is shocking with that big of a number, 15.5 right now. And, you know, I just was looking at a trend. Any lines in the NFL that were over 7, I think they're covering about 68% of the time, all the lines so far here through 3 weeks. So, but, yeah, definitely seeing some Buffalo money, minus 15.5.
But
that always scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, that many points. Backdoor cover, you know, you'd be up 22 and there's a backdoor cover. So,
but and you're in Louisiana with a lot of Saints fans. You know,
yeah. I mean,
you would
but
think
how many Saints backers are you going to find now?
Yeah. No, not, they got the bags over their heads.
True.
Again.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're waiting. They're just waiting for the number one pick. But, so we're seeing that in the NFL. A lot of it is middle. You know, there's a lot of plays that are just in the middle, you know, picking both sides of the game right now. It's funny, Houston's seen a lot of traction. Even though we're local, we're seeing it on a national level, too. And, the way they've played, I mean, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it all week, you know, their offense and what they're seeing. But, at minus 7, they're still seeing, a lot of traction here over here at DraftKings. So,
you got them at
that's
7?
That's an interesting one.
Not 7. And a, you yeah. got them at 7, not 7.5.
We got them at 7, yeah. I moved to 7 today, so we got that. Mm-hmm. Green Bay's another one at minus 7 versus the Cowboys. That's Packers are a big play there.
At the Cowboys.
Yeah. At the old Jerry Stadium.
No,
so that's an interesting one.
CD Lamb. There is an angry Micah Parsons. That means that game would be about a 13 to 13.5 at Green Bay, which,
wow,
golly, that's a high number, yeah. But man. Can you put a number on Tyler Guyton versus Micah Parsons? We'll see how much help that the left tackle gets over there against Micah, because you know he wants to just wreck Jerry.
Yeah. Yep. And I think you're going to see the Micah's game come through Sunday. I actually got them. They're one of my questions I had. I definitely got the Chargers as a teaser at minus 6 down to a pick against the Giants. And I'm debating Green Bay down to 1 or the Steelers plus 8.5. But, definitely like Green Bay to win that one and maybe even cover in that game as well. So I was thinking about the Texans minus 1, but, I don't know which one to take, Vikings or the Steelers plus 8 or Green Bay minus 1. I think I'm going to lean towards Green Bay minus 1.
I love that teaser, Texans minus 1, Green Bay minus 1, like – one is just – I don't see how Dallas wins without CeeDee Lamb. And then number two, the Texans down to 1 against the Titans. If you can't win this game, let's just give the Texans a top 3 pick and not even play it out, because I don't know what else you're going to do now. Because all you're asking the Texans to do is win, basically.
Yeah.
The teaser won. But you love teaser action as the book, no? I mean,
I mean, we like the teasers and parlays. You got to put up more money for the teaser plays, and there's definitely some adjustments to it. And we definitely like teasers, and then we like parlays. But I like playing teasers in the NFL. You think I learned my lesson knowing that I work here. But yeah, definitely like teasers, parlays. You know, people are buying points. That's another one where you know that a lot of people end up buying points and, but you know, getting rid of the hook and all that. So
yeah,
you know, a lot of games that I think it's only like 15% of games are within 2 points of the spread. You know, so you know, yeah, sometimes you get burned on the hook, but yeah, a lot of games you know that you pick that don't come as close as you think.
What do you think about this Detroit? Where's the money on this Detroit-Cleveland game, 9.5? Cleveland can play defense now. I think a lot of people are probably going to be jumping on this Detroit team after last week, but Cleveland has been holding everybody down.
Yeah, and you know, their defense is playing solid. You know, we're actually seeing a little bit more money on Cleveland plus 10. It's kind of a, you know, that's a 50-50, but it's definitely a little bit more money on Cleveland. But you would think Detroit, after how they played the last 2 weeks, they look like they're Super Bowl contenders again, and I think they just jumped up for the lead. I was looking at that this week, and definitely for the division. So Detroit's back, and yeah, but we're definitely seeing a little bit of Cleveland money with those 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, that offense looks great, but Cleveland's defense, look mm-hmm. what they did against Green Bay last week.
Yeah, yep. So, definitely there. I'm trying
so
to look,
what about the what about Eagles. The under? What about the under in that one, 44 and a half?
Yeah, 44, definitely another one. That's a 50-50, a little bit of edge towards the under. It's about 55% on the under right now, 44 and a half. But Detroit just scores. I mean, that you know, that's a team – you know, even with good defenses, they can still score. And I don't know if Cleveland can, you know, can keep up if that becomes a, you know, a shootout. But, yeah, it's definitely a little bit on the under there at 44 and a half.
Yeah.
The big one, Eagles are seeing a lot of love this week against Tampa Bay, minus 3.5. You know, I think Tampa Bay's got some injuries, you know, and Philly's looking, you know, they can win in so many different ways. You know, and that's, I think that's the strength of Philly right there. If they need to throw it, they can throw it. They need to, you know, run and run the clock out. But, yeah, they're seeing a lot of love this week as well.
Well, without Mike Evans, it's different. Although, yeah. Emeka Buka has really come on for Baker.
Boy, he's been terrific.
Yeah.
He's been terrific, and Jackson Smith and Jigba's been terrific in Seattle for Sam Darnold. That's going to be a Thursday night. I mean, you got Seattle going to Arizona. How are the Arizona's a 1.5 point underdog here? What's the action look like at your casino? I'm interested to see there.
For that's another one. A lot of Seattle money. It's over 70% right there. We're Seattle minus 1.5, and then a lot of the over as well on that. But yeah, you're definitely seeing Seattle money coming in. It's been late money too. I think early was Arizona, and now we're starting to see some strong Seattle money coming in.
Lost. The Rams are headed to the Giants, and a rookie starting, Jackson Dart, making his first start against this Rams defensive line. Man, the Rams. Oh, excuse me, it's the Chargers.
The Chargers.
I'm sorry. The Chargers, who look great. The Chargers are 6.5. Chargers are 6.5 against Jackson Dart making his first start. It's the Chargers. I like the Chargers even more now.
Yeah, I mean,
where's that money?
That's why. That's most of it's on the Chargers. Yeah, that's definitely heavy Charger money right now.
And
went down. It's minus 6 too. The hook went away this morning, so we're at minus 6 with the Chargers.
I actually like I like the other side.
You like the other way?
Yeah, because you know what? And it's not about rookie making his first start. Number one, I think this kid's shown a lot of more confidence than I. I think there's – I don't know. I've watched the Giants play. The Giants have been, for the most part, fairly competitive. Last week was a disaster for them. But it just feels like a game where maybe some of the travel stuff with the Chargers catches up. I just feel like they may just have a blah game here. That's a big number in an NFL game to throw out there. You got a little bit of a pass rush for the Giants as well against, you know, a team that doesn't have their starting left tackle for the year. I don't know. I just have a feeling that one stays inside the number. It's kind of an ugly game that they, you know, I think the Chargers win it inside the number, but we'll see.
Where's the money going on Colts, Rams?
Let's see. The Colts, Rams, that is
Rams.
Definitely Colts.
Oh, wow.
Plus 3.5. Yeah, that's over 70 plus.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of like Yeah, the Rams at home, again, it's kind of similar to the Giants' charge. You know, Colts have been playing good, but Rams have turned it around except for, you know, last week's.
Well, they should have won last week.
They had a little bit of a hiccup and made some bettors happy and some bettors very mad there at the end of that game. So,
well, about it?
Yeah,
last play, he right covers. There. Boy, talk about a bad beat if you had the Rams last week. Holy crap.
Oh, one of the worst beats I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. Terrible beat.
And I think the guy ran, I saw a stat, I think he was going 19 miles an hour as well. I think I saw
18.9 miles an hour for a 330-pound defensive tackle. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Of course, he ran a sub-540, or he ran like low 540 at the combine, John. He had a really impressive a combine when he came out of the draft. But, man, that miles per hour for that big guy, because he did not want to be, he's like, this is my one chance to get a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Yep.
So give me your 3-team parlay for this week.
You ready? I'm going to do a little call. I'll mix it up. I'm going to actually do Penn State -3.5. I'll talk about some of the big games. I think it's Drew Aller's day. I think Franklin gets over the hump. We're going to talk about Hando. A lot of people like Oregon, but I think the whiteout and everything will have an effect. I think Penn State finally turns a corner there on the big games. Like them, I kind of like, I'm going to go with the Steelers, a +2.5. I haven't took them yet this year, but I think going over across the pond, I think Tomlin gets them ready to go. And I like Green Bay. I think they're going to destroy Dallas. I think that Green Bay's for real, the Micah effect in that game. And, Pickens, your lead receiver, I think there's –
Bouncing back from a loss to Cleveland.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right. That's my big 3-teamer there. So, but so it's a big game Saturday, so it'll be fun for college as well.
It's going to be fun.
The NFL.
Get on over to the Golden Nugget to watch it at DraftKings Sportsbook. Do we get, we got any tables left, or are they all taken?
They're starting to fill up. We got a little bit left. All the booths. We got seats open. So yeah, come on down. Watch that. We got the Ryder Cup. We got all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh my God, it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
What a great place to be for this weekend. Yeah. The Ryder Cup with all the college football games going on. Are you kidding me? Get to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. GoldenNuggetLC.com. John, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
John, chill. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Are you kidding me? Is there a better weekend to go with all of these games that are going on? With the Ryder Cup as well? Are you kidding me? There is no better place to be than the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles. I mean, with the DraftKings Sportsbook and all of the, listen, if you're playing, if you like craps, you like blackjack, whatever, they've got TVs throughout the casino, so you can keep your eye on the games while you're keeping the eye on the games, okay? That's what happens at Golden Nugget LC. Up by the pool, TVs, okay? You want to go swimming? That's fine. You can do that as well. Enjoy the pool, the swim-up bar at the pool. You can do that as well. You want to play golf while you're there? Right, do that as well. You want and all the TVs in all the restaurants as well. I mean, they got TVs at all the restaurants, 12 different restaurants to choose from. It is, I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite places, GoldenNuggetLC.com. Make your reservations. Get on over there. Have yourself a big time just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It's GoldenNuggetLC.com.
Hey, before we go, right now, first caller, let's open the boards up, 713-780-3776. It's your chance to win the $50 gift card from Taqueria Serranos. What you're doing is you are going to pick against the spread for tonight's game. Pick against the spread for tonight's game, the Thursday night game, or the over-under. Your choice. If you win, you are going to get a $50 gift card from Taqueria Serranos to use at any location you want. But if you lose, you get
nothing.
So call in right now. First caller, we're going to get you on right now and take it right now because we got news of the weird that's going to be coming up next. So I'm going to pull up. By the way, I'm looking at Comeback Player of the Year Award, John.
Okay. And not only that, but we got Justin tomorrow morning at 7:30.
Oh, so we're a little early.
Justin is up at 7:30, because he's got a tournament that he's playing in. So we got him at 7:30. We will pick someone on the other side to play Beat the Warehouse Live guy tomorrow morning at 7:30. So okay. Stick around for that as well. But okay. First, why don't you talk a little Zadik Jewelers?
Okay. No, we're going to do this game first, Sean, but you can take your headphones off because we're going to play. Okay. Yeah, we got to play the game first, what we're going to do before we do Zadik Jewelers. All right. Who's our contestant, Dave?
It'll be Chris.
Chris, here's what we got going on tonight. The Seattle Seahawks are in Arizona on the Thursday night prime football game. They are laying 1.5 points against the spread. However, you can also take a look at the over-under is 44. So you can go over 44, under 44. You can lay 1.5 or you can take 1.5. Or you can have me choose it and try to fade me. Because if I beat you, you get nothing. But if I lose, you win. So it's your choice on the Thursday night game. What do you choose to do, Chris? And who's going to be your pick?
Let me go with... What's the line on the favorite?
The line is Seattle's laying 1.5 points. Sam Darnold versus Kyler Murray. James Conner out for the year with an Achilles injury for the Cardinals. This is a recent happening that occurred there for the Cardinals, if it matters.
And if I let you pick for me, but you get it right, then I lose.
That's right.
Oh.
Either take control of your own destiny, or let Lance
or try to back into the playoffs. Yeah,
either bet on Lance losing or take control of your own destiny. It's up to you.
Dale, what do you think I should do?
Well, Lance is a mush.
So then let me pick it.
Look,
then.
Man, do you want to control it or do you want to have Lance be in control of what to do? I mean, this is the game we're playing. That's all. It's just the game.
Yeah.
You either win or you get
it's
nothing.
It's for $50 of food
it
or you get
nothing. It costs you nothing to choose your own destiny. Choose your path, Chris.
Okay, I'll let Lance choose it.
Ooh. I take the Arizona Cardinals +1.5. I'm taking division home dog on a Thursday night. Kyler Murray goes off for 2 touchdown passes and probably 215 yards.
So who's favorite again? Seattle? Or?
Seattle's -1.5. So basically, more than likely, Arizona's just going to have to win. So, I mean, if technically, yeah, if I lose by one, yeah, then you still get nothing.
So Chris?
You like Seattle anyway. You're going to take Seattle anyway, so I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah.
I've got Arizona +1.5.
All right, Chris. So
take
when you're watching a game, hope for a Seattle win by more than
you're a Sam Darnold fan.
1 point. Hold on, Chris. We will get your information.
There we go. Good luck to you, Chris.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to win or lose because I don't mind Chris getting a $50 gift card. But at the
same
time,
don't want to be wrong.
Sometimes I like when people get
nothing. Okay,
no, that's kind of the hater in me.
But what about when people need jewelry?
Well, Zadik Jewelers, and I don't want you to walk out of there with nothing. I want you to walk out of there with something. And with 28,000 square feet of store, you're going to find some incredible, incredible items to choose from at Zadik Jewelers. Go to Zadik.com and get a feel for what I'm talking about. It's easy to maneuver around their website. They have pictures of and prices for their watches, for their tennis bracelets, for their diamond pendants, for the different settings that they have for engagement rings, for earrings. I mean, everything that you can imagine. They know what the hot metals are, the precious metals, you know, which ones are hot. They know which designs and which designers are the very best right now, the ones that she's going to absolutely love. All you're looking to do is find a gift that is going to be extremely memorable. And if you're looking for an engagement ring, you want something that is going to last a lifetime and really pop for that day that you get engaged, something that is beyond memorable. And there's no problem there. Zadik is the king. They're the best. They're the king and everyone else is the sorry people. The top jeweler in the entire city by far with 4 decades behind them to prove their value here in Houston. I think you're going to find the same thing when you step into Zadik Jewelers at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
ESPN 97.5. Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Well, I'll tell you what's weird is we don't have somebody right now ready to play Justin tomorrow morning at 7:30. If you can't get up before 7:30, don't call in. But at 7:55 exactly, which is less than 2 minutes away.
He means 9:55, people.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And here it's 7:55. 9:55. At 9:55, you call in, and the third caller is going to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy. But you got to be ready at 7:30 with your picks, okay? I should have done it in the 7 o'clock hour, Del, because a lot of these people that are listening now, they don't get up at first 7 o'clock. So that's a problem.
We got some listeners who do take an entire show. Maybe it's your chance. Normally, you guys don't get a shot, so take the chance. Now, Justin's good. No one's beating him this year, but if you can be available at 7:30, you got a chance to maybe win tickets to a Rockets game, possibly, and the free limo ride and back. So now's your opportunity. 30 seconds away.
Right?
To call in. So, caller three.
Caller number three. 713-780-3776. All right, so we'll do that. So there is a Dutchman. He was living in Thailand. And apparently he was arrested for stealing an ATM in Wong District. I kind of feel like if you're from the Netherlands, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb and going to be easily detected if you're trying to steal an entire ATM. Don't you feel that way?
I feel like most of the time you will, regardless of where you're from. But if you're a Dutchman, yeah, probably more so than other people. Yeah, I think that's fair.
I just feel let's look for the tall guy, you know? I think you're an easy pickings for the police. I don't know. So Fox and Friends, they had a little discussion about the homeless the other day, and one of their anchors.
Okay, this is a little bit old, not super old, but a little bit old.
A little bit.
It just happened, by the way.
It happened. Oh yeah, September 13th.
Yeah, he had to apologize. Go ahead. He had to apologize. Go ahead and say what he said.
Okay. So they were talking about the homeless issue. This is happening all across the country. It's a money issue. There's a lot of homeless people that don't want help. Well, you can give them a chance. Either take the resources that we're going to give you, or you decide that you got to be locked up in jail. Well, Brian Kilmeade said, or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them. Do you feel like
I don't feel like that. I don't even want to answer this question. I don't want to joke about it because that means you lose your job.
You don't think that we should just kill the homeless?
That's what you're saying. No. Let the record reflect, I do not.
Okay, I was just asking. I mean, that was just a question.
No, I just
want to
put that out there. I don't.
Yeah. You're on the record.
Yeah, I'm on it's official now.
Do you want to... Listen, I want to go to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
But I don't know anymore. I saw the alcohol prices.
Ooh, what do they look like?
And first of all, that's all they have is Budweiser products? I'm out. Michelob Ultra, 15. Ultra, 18. Ultra Zero, 12. Bud Light, $15. Are you kidding? Okay. A specialty drink, Transfusion, $19.50 for a drink.
Yeah. Now, I know this is probably out of bounds and crazy to suggest, but nothing's forcing you to drink at the Ryder Cup.
Really?
Why are you doing that, Del?
You could just go watch.
Why are you wasting your time?
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Why are you wasting your time?
No, I say much less dumb things than you do, and that's documented.
I don't understand why you're wasting your
time. You say a lot of dumb things.
If we go by the level of dumb things said over the years since we've done the show together, you are far and ahead.
You lead the league?
He leads the league.
That's what I mean. John is the league leader?
Yeah,
I'm the league leader. Not after that comment
he
you
said
just
the Astros
made.
Are winning the,
go
the,
to the Ryder Cup
this
and
man,
don't drink.
Despite all evidence to the contrary, said the Astros were still going to win the division last week.
He screams at restaurant owners who don't carry his beer. What are you talking about? You think he's going to go somewhere where they don't carry his beer?
If Ryder Cup was during Lent, he wouldn't drink.
Yeah, the prices aren't going to scare you away. Well, you pay those at other places.
The Ryder Cup's never played during Lent.
So what I'm saying is you have done things without alcohol being a driving force.
Do you know how badly I want Lent to end? every year.
Well, it just speaks how boring golf is. You must drink to enjoy it.
You have to. How are you going? Oh, by the way, it is. I talked to a guy who's there. My buddy Terry is there. Yates, you know, you guys know Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
The lawyer, he is there, and he said, it is crazy. It is going to be a big home course advantage with how many maniacal New York fans are out there.
Really?
Oh, my God. He said, it's relentless.
It's relentless. It's always loud. Is it going to turn? Because that's where they yelled at Colin Montgomery years ago.
Oh, and Sergio, where they were counting in Spanish, how many times he re-gripped.
So is it basically
uno, dos, like, tres, cuatro,
it's basically
cinco.
Like Phoenix Open used to be maybe 8 years ago before it completely went off the rails?
Right. It's going to be like that. Okay. It's going to be like that. Big home course advantage. But the Americans are a big favorite, which I think is news of the weird. I think that's weird.
Huh?
Because, they're like minus 150.
Well, our guy, JJ, what's his name? What's his last name again?
Spawn.
JJ Spawn's there. Of course they're favorites.
Well,
that's our guy.
How can you not? That is our guy. How can you not make them the favorites?
You were
JJ
confused
Spawn's
by. You were confused.
You showed a lot of confusion.
I looked at several pictures again after the show. Still don't know what he is.
Know what he is.
He's a golfer.
Man.
Male golfer.
Nope, as a man. I don't know what he is as a man. That's all. I just see
he's
a golfer.
He's a man. He's a human being.
But is he a good man?
Yes, he's a good man.
Family man?
He's a great, great man. He plays golf.
That doesn't make you a good man.
Great man.
You're evidence of that. Man.
Okay? Not Goodman. He's great man.
Well, Landman. Remember that
Landman.
Name?
Yeah, Landman, that's the guy who recovered the fumble or caused the fumble.
Forced the fumble and set the Texan season into a downward spiral.
It really did.
Who knew that Landman that was going to be the catalyst?
For the whole season to fall apart.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're done. Mopey and Mapes next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But what about buying your house, Lance?
Well, buying your house is green light offer. I can tell you that right now. Green light offer is... you hear Sean, remember the guy that goes, woo, we'll make an offer on your house today, woo. He means it. Everything he says in that spot, he absolutely 100% means. And let me give you an example of, you know, he talks about when you have situations with difficult tenants, maybe you're renting a house, they can get rid of the tenants, squatters, they get rid of the squatters. They buy your home quickly without you having to do repairs to the home, without you having to get ready, without you having to do showings. They'll buy it for you quickly, get you a fair price very quickly. The closing happens it's happened as soon as 3 days, but typically it's going to be like 7 to 10 days. But listen, here's some other things that might resonate with you. Divorce situations where they get deals done, and a lot of people from ESPN actually, unfortunately, have gone over to him for divorce situations where they just need to sell the home and get equity quickly. Retired landlords who want to just cash out, job relocation where sellers need to move their house quickly, vacant or fire damaged homes. I didn't even realize that they'll buy a fire damaged home or a vacant home that has, you know, really gone downhill. They'll do that for you as well. And all points in between. Make sure that you give them a call. Just go to the website at greenlightoffer.com. That's greenlightoffer.com. And you can get the entire process going today. Or give them a phone call and ask for Sean. And he will walk you through everything by himself. He's that good. And this company is that good. Get an offer today at greenlightoffer.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD. 97.9 HD2.